Well, as we begin, Father, we always want to present our lives before you. Thank you for giving up your Son so that we can have life. So may there be something enriching for all of us to see and to enjoy and to learn and to grow by, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, today I'm excited because we're going to journey for the next 5 to 6 weeks on a topic literally saying, Bible Never Said. That is the name of the series. We'll be explaining that, Bible Never Said series. We're finding, and it's interesting, what came to note is that recently the 2021 element of the working of the Bible, which means basically what is the survey done with regards to Bible being used, and what was most noted by Barnum Research and the American Bible Society is that Generation Z, Gen Z, how little they're engaging the Bible. And we know we would have thought that the pandemic in 2020 would have heightened Bible involvement. But they came to this, that 66% of Gen Z, we're talking teenagers predominantly, rarely use the Bible. In other words, 66% of Gen Z actually would be ones that would qualify using the Bible. And here it is. Let's get this. What qualifies those being ones using the Bible? If they pick up the Bible 3 to 4 times, ready for this? Per year. So we're finding that we're looking at probably if the same pattern that the millennial generation, we're finding we're quickly going into a post-Christian era. Really, it's happening. That 9% of the Gen Z, 9%, would say that the Bible helps give them spiritual direction. Now do the math. That means 91% of Gen Z do not. And most feel that the Bible is just another form of a book, like maybe the area of other religions, that it's another way of just pursuing things about God. So we just want to take a look at and help with us to discover Bible never said certain things that I'm finding that people actually think the Bible said or God said. So today we're going to start with something that's probably the most common. God wants you happy. That is today's let's just say what people think the Bible actually says. God wants you happy. Well, the Bible does not say that. Let's just put it this way. Can you imagine if you had somebody that you knew, a friend, a coworker, maybe a family member, quoted something you said, and as you listen to them say that, you're there in ultimate shock saying, I never said that. I never said that. When a person like that misquotes you or misrepresents you, it's really quite devastating. You can imagine. I heard a cute story about a family physician that was down Main Street and all of a sudden came across one of the 92-year-old clients of his. And there this guy was with a beautiful 26-year-old draped over his arm. And the doctor says, wow, Fred, you're looking really, really happy today. Well, doc, he said, I just took your advice to get yourself a hot mama and be joyful. He said, Fred, I never said that. I said, you've got a heart murmur and to be careful. So when we take a look here, it's important that there, can you imagine what God must think when people misquote his word or misquote him? And why is this important? Because if we misunderstand what God says about us, it will hinder Christians from following Jesus. It really will. And we're finding that is actually the case here. So let's look at the importance of something today, and that is God wants you happy. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. God has something much more rich, much more important for you to enjoy. So that's a common phrase that's out there. God wants me happy. Now, why is that dangerous? Because the decisions that you and I make will be based on, well, God wants me happy, so I'm going to go with this. That's where the difficulty comes with Christians that we say, man, we want you to follow God. We want you to go big. But they justify, if I think God wants me happy, and let me just put it this way, I want you, just in case, to say, well, what's wrong with happiness? Nothing. Does God want me happy? Well, let's just make sure we understand some of the process of that, because it's important. God, He's all into you. It's important that He has something far greater than what we call happiness, and it's called fulfillment. But if I think God only wants me happy, it's going to justify me buying all these things and going into debt. I can justify my career path if I just know God wants me happy. It will justify certain relationships and continual friends that I hang out with because, hey, God wants me happy. Matter of fact, it'll make me avoid hard things because, well, God wants me happy. I can justify that divorce. I can justify that affair. I can justify literally leaving certain responsibilities, maybe even kind of faking things on my taxes because God wants me happy. It's amazing how when people think God wants us happy, that we will make decisions we really should not make. So what does the Bible say? What does God actually say? That's important for us. Let's look at number one on our notes here. God's desire for you is fulfillment, not simply happiness. So we're going to look at the word fulfillment and also happiness. It's going to be helpful for you to understand that because we need to remind ourselves. But let's look here at John 10, verse 10. I'm reading from the New Living Translation where it says this, "My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." I like that. Rich and satisfying life. New King James says, "I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." But it's very clear, a rich and satisfying life. That's much more than just happiness. Let's look for a moment here at John 15, verse 11. Jesus says, "I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." So I've often said, Jesus never said, "Come follow me and I will make you miserable." That's important. Some people actually think that. You come and you follow me and get all involved with me and I'll give you one dreary life. Boy, some people haven't really tapped into all that God has. I see something like this, a rich and satisfying life. A joy overflowing? Whoa, I have experienced that. I believe God wants that for everyone, and it's important for us, once again, to recognize that. So let's look here for a moment. Letter A, understanding happiness. Let's take a look at that. Now, happiness, remember, our thought that the Bible says God wants you happy. Happiness is determined by favorable circumstances. So if those circumstances are just right, you're going to be happy. Fulfillment, we'll deal with that in a moment, but fulfillment is much deeper, longer lasting, and it really comes by following Jesus. Just want to throw that out there. But before we go into this, being happy is wonderful. Being happy is good. I've been sad and I've been happy. Let me tell you, happy is better. So, and that's the pursuit of all of us. We want to be happy. But Jesus is giving people something far greater. But let's go back. Understanding happiness is usually based on favorable circumstances. So you can imagine if you have things work in your favor, kind of children kind of understand that we better give them what they want because that child won't be happy today. Or you get the preferred parking place at Costco, you feel what? Happy. See, that's favorable circumstances. Happiness is often temporary. You can lose your happiness on your commute to work. You can lose your happiness by an unkind word. You can literally lose your happiness by watching the news. So happiness is conditional. You have to be careful. It's temporary. You can understand this. Happiness as well, it's feeling driven. It's very fragile. It's surface level. It's not, happiness is not deep. That's why your and my happiness can be worked so easily by circumstances on the surface level. It's fragile. and that happiness really can be artificially manufactured. Many people have never moved from that artificial manufacturing because they might think God wants me happy, but they'll go after it by, if you eat a box of chocolates, you temporarily feel happy. If you read a good book, you feel temporarily happy. If you can go on down the line, if you watch a movie, you feel happy, your favorite movie. If you go ahead and consume alcohol as well, if you're there and consume a pill, there are areas that a person feels artificially manufactured happy. If you spend a lot of money going shopping, people are out there, they get happy feeling that. Now, what that creates, we're familiar with, it's called dopamine. It's a chemical in your brain that helps make you feel good. The problem with that is that you have to continue to pursue those things to feel good. That's why happiness is really not what God wants for you. He has something far greater, a rich, satisfying life. Now, one of the things about happiness, I call it the law of diminishing returns. Happiness just does not consistently grow. It's like going on vacation this last summer and finding and experiencing the best sight, the most exquisite, fun, family-filled experience, and you say, we're going to do that one again next summer. And you do, and it doesn't seem to have the same impact. That's what happiness is. There's a diminishing return. You actually have to ratchet up the experience and add a little bit more to the details to have that same reaction. That's happiness. That's happiness. God has something more for people. Let's take a look at letter B, understanding fulfillment. Now, fulfillment, basically, it's defined as an experience that's very deep, and it's a meaningful, and it's a very healthy emotion where you feel fulfillment. There is that element where Jesus says in John 10:10, life to the full. I like that. Abundant life. I've experienced that. I continue to experience that. When we take a look at that, fulfillment is not based on favorable circumstances. It's not temporary feeling. It's not something that's fragile or easily lost. It cannot be manufactured like happiness. Fulfillment that Jesus is talking to you and me about comes by a life that says, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow God. You know, some Christians never really understood that fulfillment comes by following. When I say, hey, how's your walk with Jesus these days? What that literally means is, are you walking in step with him? Are you obeying him? Are you following him? Some Christians believe all they need to do is just simply believe. Well, that gets us to heaven, but there's something that's lacking in the fulfillment category of a believer. It's like, man, this Jesus thing isn't really what I was anticipating. That's because they've never known what it is to obey. And the beautiful thing about this fulfillment we're talking about is that we start to experience something that increases fulfillment the more you walk and obey God. There is not a diminishing return on fulfillment. It is not. No way. Not like happiness. The more you walk with God, the more you obey God. That's where we talk obedience equals blessings. It's wonderful. We want everyone to experience that kind of life. It's so rich. So fulfillment is really described, we could probably say, as the overall quality of a person's life. Really so important. So again, happiness is determined by favorable circumstance, where fulfillment is experienced by simple obedience following Jesus, which you know he wants you to do. That brings such fulfillment for a person. So how can we experience that fulfillment? Well, let's take a look at number two on our notes. Can you see that there? And I'm grateful you're taking notes because I'm telling you, you will discover some things in your conversational elements this week. God will speak some things to you that you'll say, man, that's why I'm feeling a lack of real enthusiasm for the things of God. Number two, fulfillment is a byproduct of following. Now, we've been talking about that, but following, as we know, Jesus. Let's look at Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4. We'll place that up on the screen for you at home. It says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. Now, look at that scripture for a moment. What comes first? Basically, placing then your desire, your delight in the Lord. And look what happens. Our heart's desire is actually given to us. It's not something that is merited. You're not pursuing your heart's desire. That's an amazing miracle that happens in the life of a believer. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he starts to give you these things. It's so miraculous when that happens. Now, notice Romans chapter 8, verse 6. I want to add that as well. It says, so let your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but let the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Just look at that for a moment. It's interesting to note here, because if we allow to live God's way, following Jesus, it simply brings a life of element of peace. Not only peace, but real life, a fulfilling life, allowing the Spirit of God to follow you. Now, we all have human flesh. My flesh messes with me more than the devil. It's a problem I have, and I won't shake it till I get my new body. But I've got to be very cautious about this body of mine, because there are things it craves and longs for. And I literally can say once again, well, God wants me happy. I'm just going to lunge for this thing and go for it. It's not necessarily evil. But see, God has something far more for you and me. That's the beauty as you and I walk with the Lord. I love that. I love that. What may be not necessarily wrong for you at my pursuit and time and year and season with God could be because God has something more for me to make sure I don't get sidetracked with my pursuit. So we all have a path, but it is all about walking and obeying the Lord. So I do like Psalm 119. Let me just bring that up. You may want to write that as well. But we're going to place that on the screen for you. Psalm 119, verse 35. Make me walk along the path of your commandments, for that is where my happiness is found. That's really pretty neat, pretty simple. I want to walk the path God has. I want to make sure it's something God has described. Sometimes it's a hard decision, but I'm telling you, real happiness comes. So there's a theme, literally, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that when a person says, I just want to obey the Lord, I want to follow him, blessings come. It's going to be enjoyable when you sit down with Christians and you say, you know what? I may not even have much, but my life is so fulfilling. I feel so satisfied. I feel so happy with who God made me. It's a breakthrough that I've had. And it's wonderful when that takes place. The heart's craving, it's just, there's an element that comes when a person does that. So to illustrate the difference here, just a little bit of happiness and fulfillment, you know the element of cotton candy. Our OC Fairgrounds just concluded, but if you eat cotton candy or you eat a delicious meal, that cotton candy basically brings that element of happiness. It's a treat. That delicious meal brings tremendous fulfillment. There's something definitely different there. And that's the difference between one that says, well, I'm just going to go for my happiness. Who cares about really being fulfilled or having a fulfilling life? Let's look at letter A. Fulfillment does not mean pain-free. Now, I wasn't going to put that there because I like to be on a positive note. Praise the Lord. But then I realized Jesus doesn't promise us a pain-free life. He actually says very clearly that we're going to have tribulations and problems and persecution and, yes, pain. It's going to happen. The miracle, got you, didn't I? The miracle is that you still feel fulfilled going through pain. Jesus said that in John 16, verse 33. says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you'll have peace. In this world you'll have tribulation." He's a little clear about that. "But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." So it's important for us to recognize that. Fulfillment does not mean a pain-free life. So the brokenness of this world, dear friends, as you know with the fullness of your heart, you're feeling you are doing what God has asked you to do, the world cannot take away your fulfillment. It can affect your happiness. But I'll tell you, there'll be an abiding contentment and a fulfillment. If you expect Jesus to remove the pain and frustration in this world, you and I already know we're going to set ourselves up for disappointment. And oftentimes Christians go at each other because somebody doesn't agree with us. And be careful about that. You don't do that. That's not your call. You just walk out that path that you have with Jesus. You do that. Don't avoid Christian fellowship because somebody doesn't particularly believe the way you do, but follow Jesus. And he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Letter B, fulfillment is accumulative. Take a look at that one. Obedience, amazing. Fulfillment is accumulative. The longer you follow Jesus, the more fulfillment you'll experience. It's a great thing. It's accumulative. It's over time. This is one I can literally say I can experience and pass that on. I have been attempting to obey the Lord for many, many years, and my fulfillment has been accumulative. It's really as if it's like investing for your future. It's accumulative. If you want to find a fulfilled life at the end of your existence, then you invest in obeying the Lord today. You invest in doing what you know to do today. It's an investment for your wonderful life at the end of your life. I've lived a fulfilled life. I feel fulfillment. And it also brings happiness. It's an amazing thing about that area. The kingdom of God principles I just told you is so significant. You will not get that in advertisements and media. It will push you to get that item now because that'll bring you what? Happiness or recognition or prestige. So when we look here, if we follow kingdom principles, it's going to be so important for us. It's helpful. And it's a lifetime of planting obedience to Jesus. Oh, I love the Lord. I love just saying that to people. I love Jesus. Please don't use his name in vain. Man, there's not a day that goes by I don't get on my knees and worship him. It's important that we get a chance to see and to declare those things. How wonderful the Lord is. So happiness does not accumulate, does not. Only fulfillment accumulates over time. Let me rephrase that and say it again, because you need to write that down. Happiness, if you're going to pursue happiness only, thinking God wants you happy, there's much more than that. But happiness does not accumulate. It's gone as soon as the circumstance changes. But fulfillment accumulates. Fulfillment is wonderful. Letter C, fulfillment is the sum total of your life. I'm telling you, there's probably not going to be anybody at the end of their life's journey when they actually face Jesus saying, "Yeah, I don't think that was worth it. I really don't think that's going to be the case. I'm so glad I've made the decisions I've made. I've found God adds the blessings." Have those decisions to obey the Lord been easy? You know that. You're a human. You know what that's like. You're trying to say yes, but what if I do and I lost this? What if I do and I have less than I normally would? What happens if I obey the Lord and everything's lost? Obey him anyway. Amen. There's something sweet and rich about going to bed at night, knowing that you did it with the integrity of your heart unto Jesus. That's what the word says. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all to the glory of God, giving thanks to his name. So we're looking at something, the Bible never said God wants you happy. But we're looking here. I do think there's going to be many people when they conclude their careers and say that career wasn't worth it, that money was not worth it, that stress was not worth it, that relational and time sacrifice, that was not worth it. There's going to be people that'll come up and say, man, that return on investment was not what I was expecting. Now, everybody who is productive, and we got a lot of them in Orange County, man, they are goal-driven, their intensity is heightened, it keeps people getting up in the morning. I'm going to get that project done. But there's something about that, the end of the life, saying, am I really fulfilled? That's what's lacking in a lot of people. And it only comes by obeying the Lord's. So you'll not say at the end of your time, that life, living and obeying God, you'll never say that was not worth it. I'm telling you, that's going to be a beautiful thing. I love Psalm 90, verse 14. Let me play it up there for you. Write it down. Psalm 90, verse 14, satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love so we may sing for joy to the end of our lives. Don't you love that? Every morning, Lord, let me see and sense you. So at the end of my life, man, say, way to go, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. So if that's it, say, man, how do I plug into that that fulfillment that I need because I'm just continuing to just go for the happiness significance of my life. And there's really some things. One thing you really need to do. Number three, take a look at your notes. How can I go from pursuing happiness to receiving fulfillment? Here it is. It's laid out. You just tell the next generation, you're going this direction. Follow me as I follow Jesus. But number one, receive Jesus. Receive Jesus. That personal startup is, I'm going to receive Christ Jesus. I love John chapter 1, verse 12, 13. Check it out with me. It says so clearly, but to all who believe in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Receive Jesus. There's something that happens, and that is made by a choice, your choice. And I pray that if you're watching or you're here today and you've not made that choice, you know about Jesus. You understand he exists. That's not enough to get somebody born again. Because James 4:17 says that even the demons believe in God and tremble, but we don't think they're going to go to heaven, do we? So simply believing in God is not enough. Not enough. Let's step to that second bullet point. Learn what following Jesus means. That's important. Our OSL is starting up next month. I would say you who have gone through level one or level two with me, you know that that was an investment, but there's fulfillment of about accomplishing that. I hope to see a number of you at level two with me so we can journey with the gifts of the Spirit. There's an element that comes by that. I'm trusting that you'll jump into a life group and learn what it is. Just 10 weeks. And see what God will do through you for your constituents in that group. It's a wonderful experience. But learn what following Jesus literally means. Learn that. Not just simply believing. Learn. Let's look here at Luke chapter 9, verse 23-24. Then he said to the crowd, if any one of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. So I think the reason why so many believers in Jesus are unfulfilled, this is it. This is the reason right here. They have never learned to obey Jesus. They're unfulfilled. There's nothing to this church stuff. There is nothing I find in the Bible. They lose their life in the process, and they pursue happiness in any way they can find it. Oh, my heart weeps for them. But I know that there's much better for us who are here, but it's important for us to know, especially when you're raising up the next generation, especially when you might try telling them, this will make you happy. And it's just a temporary fix. So instead of fulfillment growing with each passing year, people are going after things that are really diminishing their life. And I hope that this message helps those individuals to start to find fulfillment in their life. So what can you do? What did Jesus say? Well, he says, give up your life. Oh, man, he's a radical dude. Give it up. Has God ever said that to you? Don't you give up that little technique of yours. Why don't you put a pause or not so much of that? Because obedience equals blessing. And part of the blessing that comes to you and me as believers in Jesus, it's called fulfillment. It accumulates, and it's so good. At the end of our lives, it's so great. Like, man, I got a great life. And look at all the wonderful people in my life. It's fulfilling and it's enriching. And that's what Hope Chapel is all about, desire to help people follow Jesus fully. Follow Jesus fully, not just believe, thinking it's a one and done. Well, let's take a look at the third bullet point, and I welcome our worship team back up. Trust Jesus with your life satisfaction. That's going to be important. I don't know about you if you've ever said, you know, maybe I ought to pause and just maybe talk with Jesus, right? Lord, you know what will satisfy me. Trust Jesus understands your heart more than maybe you do. That's so important. That's important for us to take a look at. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, check it out with me. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, says the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. That's pretty impacting. In other words, God, Almighty God, sees past even the lies we tell ourselves. Boy, I've sure tricked myself a number of times. But be careful about that. Be careful. God knows what's going on. In Psalm 139, verse 1, let me put that up there for you. You can write that down as well if you'd like. Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. He really knows what will make you fulfilled. I'm so glad he reached down from heaven to save us. Let's start chasing after Jesus. Let's be careful about those things we think the Bible actually says, and it doesn't. I wonder what God thinks about that, remember? I didn't say that. It's important that we once again take a look and say, Lord, what is it? Our job, simply put, is to simply follow Jesus. He saved us, but to simply follow Jesus. And you may be at some level of commitment. You may be at some crossroad of decision. You may be facing some element saying it's just too hard to follow this book. Get back in the book. Get back in the book. Get back into a life group. They'll help you journey in this book. The Spirit of the living God will empower you to obey Him. Oh, I love that. I love that. And you're going to experience great fulfillment. Great fulfillment. Take a look at the notes and the bullets points today. I want to invite you to just that deeper, more substantial satisfaction of following Jesus. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. I'll be back to pray with you. But let's just worship the Lord and allow something that's been said or expressed just touch our hearts. Would you join us as well? You online, please do. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.